Well, that's a satisfying victory, a good tough week for us, not only in terms of the game, but just from a preparation standpoint. We'll take it and move forward. Obviously, we're excited about it, but obviously, there's no time to wear our hands out patting ourselves on the back. We'll get rest and we'll be ready to move forward.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live at 4. I'm Missy Matthews. That was head coach Mike Tomlin talking about the Steelers' 37-27 win over the Detroit Lions yesterday at Heinz Field. Joining me today to break down all of the game, the good, the bad, the ugly, Tunch Ilkin of the Steelers Radio Network and Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. Happy Monday, fellas.
Happy Monday it is. Signature win for the Steelers, I think, against the Lions so far this year.
Yeah, you know, Labs, I think that if we stay on this course, this might be the win that we point to as saying this is when really the season turned around.
A lot of good things happening early. It was kind of one of those strong starts, and things got a little fuzzy there in the second quarter, Tunch, but they did finish it out and get the win.
You know, Missy, I think that's the key. You know, one of the things that we've talked about, we've lamented about the Steelers through the course of this season is they haven't put 60 minutes of football together. And this is the closest that we've seen from an opponent that has a legitimate shot to go deep into the playoffs. It'll probably end up winning the NFC North, a good football team, Bob, where it was back and forth, back and forth. You know, the other wins are, the other game's a little bit different. Get behind early, try to catch up. And, of course, there was games where the other couple of wins where they, you know, really took control of this football game. But this game was the one where they jumped on top. Also, Detroit comes roaring back, starts dominating in the second quarter, and it looked really bleak. And then you could feel the tide start to turn throughout the third quarter, and then the Steelers took over in the fourth quarter. And like the old adage goes, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish.
Yeah, you mentioned that the Steelers haven't played 60 minutes. And while I won't argue with that, I did like this about the performance against the Lions. If you're not going to play 60 minutes, what's almost as good as a fast start and a strong finish, mm-hmm. Which the Steelers did manage. And let me say this about the Lions. I have a lot more respect for them as a team than I did before Sunday's game. I really didn't think that the Lions would be able to come outdoors in the rain and play as well as they did for as long as they did. And, you know, the Lions are not, you know, sometimes dome teams kind of melt in the rain or
right,
in the
right.
weather. They did not. You know, to me, as I said, I like the Lions a lot more after this game, and I agree with you. I think they do end up winning the NFC North.
You know, when I watch the Lions on video through the course of the week, you know, you could see that they're a tough football team. There's no doubt about it. They reflect the personality of Jim Schwartz, and Jim Schwartz is out of that school of Jeff Fisher, Greg Williams, and then if you go to another generation,
D-line coach,
yeah,
no,
right,
right,
yeah, Buddy Ryan,
right.
Physical, nasty. You know, take your shots at guys. They do play to the echo of the whistle. They'll take shots at the quarterback after he's thrown the ball. I think their coaches do not get on them too much if they get a flag for a little, like, giving them the business, so to speak. And they take advantage of that. And they are a tough football team. And offensively, even like someone like Joik Bell, he runs hard. He's a physical running back. You know, Bush is kind of the flash, but he's the substance, and he brings his big boy pads. You know, their offensive line, they're not great, but they're maulers. You know, they'll lock up with you, and they'll try to drive you over the pile. So they have that toughness about them, and they came in, and they weren't going to back down from the Steelers' type of intensity, and that's what I liked about this game. It was back and forth. It was chippy. It was physical, and the Steelers persevered at the end.
And Calvin Johnson is not a hype.
He's
the real deal. He is the best receiver in the league. He is always open, whether you have guys covering him or not. Yes, he is all of that in a bag of chips.
He's the best receiver I've seen. In my 33 years involved with the National Football League as a player and as a broadcaster. And that
better than Jerry Rice.
That includes Jerry Rice.
Because that's the one guy.
Yeah,
that
well,
I
if
would,
you were. Now, look, Jerry Rice, his longevity and his record, his postseason record, would say that he's the better player. But if you're saying, Tunch, you're starting a franchise today, and you could have either Jerry Rice or Calvin Johnson, I'm taking Calvin Johnson. It's a no-brainer for me.
Again, Calvin Johnson is the real deal. Yeah. And if you take Calvin Johnson and I'm left with Jerry Rice, I'm not going to cry.
Not so bad.
That's not so bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he is. The thing about Calvin Johnson is that his size is such a dynamic weapon in itself.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice didn't have any physical skills, in my opinion, only physical skills that were dynamic.
Right.
He was the whole package.
Right.
But Calvin Johnson's size makes
You say that. During pregame, I walked up to Calvin Johnson. He was running routes. And so I was, you know how I walk on the field, talk to coaches. So I walked within 5 yards of him. And I just wanted to see how big he really was. And I was standing exactly where he was running his routes from. And I'm just like, it's me to you, maybe a little bit further. And I'm just watching him. This guy's phenomenal. He is ripped. He is jacked. He is so explosive. When he comes, he doesn't run like someone that's 6'5". He runs like someone that's 5'11". He's got great feet. He explodes off the line of scrimmage. When he comes out, when he cuts, he explodes out of the cut. And he runs 4.2. Bobby's a 4.26 guy. Think about that. There's a handful of 4.26 guys in the National Football. He is a genetic mutation, and he's an overachiever. So you put gifted overachiever into the same mix, you get Calvin Johnson.
Well, he had 2 touchdowns, 179 yards, and Ike said after the game, Tunch, that he didn't change what he was doing from the first half to the second half. Is that true, and how did the Steelers take Megatron out of the second half?
You're right, Missy, and they didn't do anything different. Mostly they played man coverage with two safeties deep over the top, sometimes just one safety. And so the Steelers, throughout the course of that football game, played a lot of a four-man nickel, and what they would do is that they would line Troy Polamalu as the inside backer opposite Lawrence Timmons. They'd bring in Will Allen. He'd play the other safety opposite Ryan Clark, and they'll bring in Cortez Allen as the third corner. So it's a quarter look with three corners, three safeties. But really, Troy was the other linebacker. And so they'd a lot of times they'd come up in press, they'd play press and run with the guys, and then they'd play either Ryan and Will over the top or just Ryan or Will over the top. But mostly it was the two of them. And they just, he was right. They didn't do anything a whole lot. They threw in zone every once in a while. They played that cover two soft zone a couple times. They did play cover three soft zone a couple times. But mostly they played man under, which means your man coverage against the corners, and then your safeties over the top. And they didn't play any different in the second half. They just played better.
While we're talking about defense, let's talk about the Lions' fake field goal. At that point in the game, Tunch, I think you said it this morning on the radio that, you know, you're a genius if it works, you're a bonehead if it doesn't. What do you think about that call?
Well, you know, the thing about the call, Missy, and we're going to see it on Chalk Talk this week, is when they pull the left guard, you're going to watch the pull guard, they pull the left guard. Well, that brings Steve McClendon and Cam Hayward with them. As soon as they see the guard pulling, they're running down the field. They know something's up. If they don't pull the guard, they have a lot better chance of getting the first down or even running it in. But when they do it, the Steelers' backside comes all the way down, and they're both there. When the punter sees Cam Lewis and Steve McClendon, it was almost like Missy. He goes, here, you take the ball. And he wanted no part of it. Watch it at the end here. Here comes Steve McClendon, the first guy that shows up. He strips the ball. There comes Cam. Both those guys saw the guard pull, and that's why they were in a position to make the play. If they don't pull the guard, there's a nice gap there, and the play would have been a lot better. But getting back to the call, take the 3 points. You're on the road. If you're gonna go for it, look, you got Calvin Johnson.
Thank you.
You've got Pettigrew.
Thank
you. Have Reggie Bush. You have Joy Bell.
Right.
All those guys can
go.
Put the ball into the end zone.
If you want to go for it,
why are you going with
fake
the punter?
It, letting the punter run.
Although some punters are great athletes.
Come on. That's to me. I mean, this to me is something that we spent a lot of time in meetings all week. You know, I got to come up with something, and this is something that I saw. And when you diagram it on the board, you know, the punter running it up the middle with David Akers as the blocker, you know, when you're doing it like that, the little lines that you make, they actually can block those people. But when you put them on the field, they cannot. To me, that was just an example of a coach losing the reality of the moment. As the field goal puts you back up by seven.
Right.
And if you want to go for it, hey, fourth and five at the 10, as you said, I'm putting in Calvin Johnson,
right,
and I'm throwing it up to him in the corner, and I don't care how many guys you have on him, and if he doesn't catch it, so be it.
I got a better chance to get my punter. You know, they used to say the looks good on paper, but they don't play the game on paper.
No, they do not. They don't play it on the grease board either.
And you know what? And we diagrammed it on Chalk Talk. You saw it. If they don't pull the guard, It's a whole different play. I mean, it was just a really bad play for what you have, because you've got a center who is snapping the ball. He's not a center. He's a long snapper. Those are two different things. You can't expect that long snapper to block.
And here's another thing. That's the Steelers' defense out there.
Right. Yeah, right.
It's not the field goal block team.
That's right, it's not
either.
The field goal block team, right.
Okay, so, you know, that's, again, I mean, a lot of this stuff looks good, you know, and sounds good in a nice dark meeting room when you're drawing it up on a grease board. But, you know, the Steelers have their defense out there. You're running your punter through the middle. I just don't know at what point it doesn't say, you know what, this isn't such a good idea.
About the time that Steve McClendon stripped the ball.
All right, well, let's talk about the 97-yard drive that ensued after that fake field goal. Tunch, kind of a classic example of Ben being Ben, as his teammates put it. 16 plays, ate up 8:03 of the clock, and obviously they took the lead with this Will Johnson touchdown.
You know, Missy, the best play of that drive was the third down completion to Antonio Brown, and the reason it was the best play of the drive is because if they don't get that, they're punting from their own end zone. And the other thing that happened was Marcus Gilbert got driven into the lap of Ben, into Ben's lap. Ben could not step into the throw. He threw it off his back foot. The Lions were playing zone. They were playing that cover two shell. And Antonio Brown ran that skinny post down the seam. Ben hit him with it. And that was the play that ignited the drive.
You know, and the other key play to me was the fourth down conversion. And again, I mean, that's another example of if you want to go for it there, put your offense on the field and run yourself a play with the people who have been practicing, you know, that the whole time. They're trying to be tricky, fool people. You know, again, we were talking about the kinds of teams these are, tough guy teams, physical teams. You know, the tricking them, you know, that doesn't work. Line up, punch somebody in the mouth. If you're the better man, you win. If not, you lose. And I think that is much more the way to try and go about it than trying to be tricky.
Yeah, I think Schwartz regrets that today. Absolutely.
Ben had 367 yards, four touchdowns, and as I said, his teammates said it was a typical Ben being Ben, rallying in the fourth quarter to take them to a comeback victory. So let's take a listen to what some of his teammates had to say.
I came here to play with him. You know, that's, you know, and I think he has a lot of respect, you know, from around the league, you know, and you know, he's a top flight quarterback, you know, and people are going to have to respect it, you know, sooner or later. You know, he doesn't get all of the attention like the other guys get, you know, but the amount of passing yards, the amount of touchdowns, all those things he's put up over the years in a cold weather city. You know, it speaks volumes about what type of quarterback he is, you know. So
he's a warrior. He's a competitor. He never give in or give up. And, you know, even when he's down, he's the same. And keeping that passion and rallying us around to bring us back.
He stays the same, you know. His confidence doesn't waver. You know, he has, like I said, he called most of the game today. We were in no huddle the majority of the time. He put us in good situations. He had a good feel for what they were trying to do. And he did a great job.
I feel like I'm in one of those Terrell Owens moments. You know, that's my quarterback, you know. But, you know, it's just a blast. It's just a blast to be able to play with him.
All right. Well, let's also talk about the fact, Tunch. Ben was only sacked once the entire game.
Yeah.
And somebody who I know we talked a lot about last week, Ndamukong Suh, did not even register on the defensive stats for the Detroit Lions.
No sacks, no assisted tackles, no solo tackles, no total tackles. Definitely.
But he's not even
mark.
On the radar up at Fine Headquarters this week.
No.
He didn't get close enough to even hit anybody late.
It's like the old saying that he was definitely on a milk carton this week. Here's the thing about Ndamukong Suh. He was a great, he's a great player. And I watched the battle that he had with David DeCastro. And he and DeCastro went after it. And David does a nice job of just staying solid on him and playing his game, physical game, face up on him. You know, the offensive line did a great job. And you know, one of the things, I got to give Ben credit and Todd Haley credit, because they came in with a game plan to get rid of the ball quick. And they did a great job of getting rid of the ball quick. And you know, a lot of times when I hear people, you know, when I hear other talk shows or anything and say, well, this offense is now a dink and dunk offense, it absolutely, it really does drive me crazy. I love the quick rhythm passing game because it does a number of things. Number one, more than anything else, it allows your offensive line to play aggressive pass blocking. If you're playing a nine-step drop, a seven-step drop, which is going to put your quarterback at 9 yards, and you're going to hold on to the ball until Domino's delivers a pizza, well, then you cannot be aggressive. And so when you've got that three-step drop, five-step drop, you know you can go after the defender. You don't have to play passive. You can play physical. And then here's what happens through the course of the game. How many times have we said on this very set, well, Jay Locker got rid of the ball quick. Jay Cutler got rid of the ball quick. Well,
couldn't
guess
get
what?
To him, right.
When you can't get to them, those guys get frustrated. And then later on in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, that's when you can take your shots downfield because they're not rushing with the same edge that they did
earlier. Because they haven't been able to get there.
Because they haven't been, and they're getting tired. And I love the game plan. I love the other thing. It gives your offensive line a chance to get aggressive. It puts the ball in your playmaker's hands early. How many times did we see, how many yards did Antonio Brown make after the catch this week? How many yards would you say he had after the
catch? He had those two touchdown passes, 47 and 34. Neither pass traveled 10 yards.
No, he ran away from people.
Right. Over
right,
people.
Look right here, right here. He makes one guy miss. He makes another guy miss on the one touchdown. He made Delmas miss, and he made Chris Houston, the corner, miss. You know, get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. Let them break a play. Here it is right here. Look at it. He makes the first guy miss, second guy. I'm sorry, it was Glover Quinn.
What was that, a 4 or 5 yard pass?
I love it. Hey, look, last time I looked, the San Francisco 49ers won 5 Super Bowls throwing that kind of offense.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Brady's won 3 Super Bowls with that very same offense. Take advantage of this. Play aggressive. And if you get a few years on the back end, Ben, then that gives you an opportunity to win more Super Bowls. So, I love the game plan. I love the way the last couple of weeks we've been taking advantage of that kind of passing. And when you walk up to the line of scrimmage, Ben's been doing a great job of this. He walks up to the line of scrimmage, and he'll see one guy in off coverage. Well, he's going to take that. It's like stealing. Why wouldn't you take that? If you look at Antonio Brown, the corner of that side, Chris Houston, we just saw it on the touchdown play, is 8 yards off. Take it. Take the 5, 6, 7, 8 yards, and who knows, maybe you'll break a tackle and get a 6 out of it.
The stat that I really liked and the stat that really kind of gives me hope for the rest of this season for this offense, 32 minutes time of possession,
right.
37 points.
Yeah.
Point a minute, you win a lot of games point a minute.
And when you look, if you look at those stats with the dink and dunk offense, they're averaging 12 yards a reception. Last time I looked, that's a first down every time you throw the ball. That's not too shabby.
Tunch, did you like the way that Le'Veon Bell was doing different things in the offense, not just running? He actually had more yards receiving this week.
Yeah, Missy, I loved it. I love the fact that Le'Veon Bell can come out of the backfield. There you see a nice little jump cut. You know, we were talking about it all season long. He's got that slide and glide. I love the fact that the Steelers remain patient with the running game, even though they weren't getting the kind of yards they want. They rushed the ball 27 times. They threw the ball 29 times. I love that balance. And the thing about it is when you are patient with the run, you don't have to run the ball well to be able to throw the ball well on play action pass. And I think the touchdown to Will Johnson and the big first down to Le'Veon Bell on 4th and 3 were clear examples of this one coming out of the backfield. He sneaks out of the backfield, just does a quick in cut. And Ben finds him. He does a great job. You get 26 in man coverage against a linebacker, I'll take that any day of the week. And I think the Steelers understand that. I saw this play right here is back out of the old playbook. I talked to Todd Haley today, and I said, toss 28 hook. I remember that play. I've run that play. I love that play. So I like what they're doing with Le'Veon Bell.
All right, let's start to talk about some of the guys who stepped up. There were some injuries leaving people inactive yesterday. But let's first listen to Will Allen and what he had to say about the interception he had on Sunday.
You know, it was a play that they ran I seen in the Dallas game, except for they hit 18 on the backside because the safety fell asleep. And I recognized it. I seen the rollout, and he was staring down 81 the whole time. And I was just being disciplined in my coverage, man, and doing what we practiced all week. We talked about it before. Everybody played discipline. Everybody just do their job. And he threw it up, and it was either me or 81 getting the ball. So I just thank God, man. I give God all the glory for this win, for this team, and for me being in a position to make a play.
What were the adjustments you guys made from the first half to the second half?
We just need to be – well, we played a good first quarter. You know, we messed up some stuff in the second quarter. They got some play action. They made some plays, which we know they would. But we just had to play more discipline in the back end, be more focused on our technique. And that's what we did. Ike played a great second half, you know, all the corners, and then played a great second half holding up the receivers, so that gave our pass rush time, and it all worked together.
Little extra film study, which I'm sure you can appreciate. Tunch doing the trick for this interception, and Will Allen led the team in tackles with 7, tied with Jason Worlds.
You know, Missy, the thing that he did a great job on that play is when Matthew Stafford came to the line of scrimmage, he was reading cover one, which means that there was only one safety deep, and it was Ryan Clark, and it was on the far side of the field. So in his mind, he says, I'm going to Calvin Johnson on that deep post. Well, what Will Allen did was he came up like he was playing cover one, but then at the last minute, he dropped back into that two deep zone. When Stafford threw that far post, which actually takes the receiver to the far side of the far numbers, that's exactly where Will was, and he just makes a great play. And both those routes, the touchdown that he ran on a very similar play was on boot action. This was on sprint action, but they were both plays where they moved the pocket to the right side, and he threw the ball back across the middle of the field.
Let's talk about some other backups who had a chance yesterday due to those injuries. Jason Worlds and Jarvis Jones getting a lot more playing time with Lamar Woodley being out, and also Brett Kiesel didn't go. Who impressed you the most that kind of out of that bunch, Tunch?
You know, I think that probably one of the toughest things is to get for a guy like Guy Wimpert to come in there. You know, Ramon Foster is really, since Marquise got hurt, you know, Ramon's your guy. He is the leader of that offensive line. He's the one that's got the most nasty. So I was really impressed with the job he did on Nick Fairley, who's a really good defensive tackle. And Fairley gets after pretty good. And so he stayed after it, and I was really impressed. I was really impressed with Jarvis Jones, because Jarvis Jones not only is playing on the defensive side of the ball, but he's also covering kicks on special teams. So that guy never comes off the line of scrimmage. Ziggy Hood played very well, and I was excited for Ziggy because he got benched a few weeks ago. Cam Hayward has just been playing outstanding. And Jason Worlds had a monster game. He had an absolute monster game. He had one sack. I don't know how many pressures he got, but he drove the right tackle, Waddle, into the lap of Matthew Stafford almost every time he threw the ball. So I was just very, very impressed with Jason Worth. And he did it with bull rushes. He did it with spin moves. He did it with a club. He was terrific. And the other thing I thought that was really cool, Missy, is that he and Jarvis Jones lined up on the same side of the field about 8 or 9 times. And the two of them together were running these twists. And they did a great job. Jarvis Jones would be the first guy. He'd get penetration. It would allow Jason Worlds to come around and either get the sack or almost get the sack. But I was just really impressed with the way those guys played off one another.
Yeah, I'm gonna give a little love for Jason Worlds. I think he's been playing pretty well and pretty consistently throughout this season. And Tunch, you mentioned how Jarvis Jones also plays on special teams. So does Jason Worlds. He, in fact, had a tackle on special teams yesterday. So, Jason Worlds, moving from side to side, rushing the quarterback. He had 4, you mentioned his sack. He had 4 other hits on the quarterback. I thought he was the most consistent presence in terms of pressuring Matthew Stafford. And, it's not that the Steelers don't need Lamar Woodley by any means, but, I thought Jason Worlds stepped in and played well both against the run and getting after the pass.
You could say that he might have been one of the best defenders on the field yesterday. I mean, he was that good. He was that good.
Dare I say we take a look at some standings first in the AFC North, and we'll kind of get to the playoff picture for the AFC as a whole. But All right, we'll take a look at the playoff pitcher one first. It was kind of one of those things, guys, yesterday in the press box. Everybody's watching all the other games, and should we say there's still a chance?
Oh, yeah. Look at that. You know, the interesting thing about this, Missy, as you show these standings, these teams all play one another. They're all playing one another. So the fact that, you know, you're right now, the Steelers are 4-6. They're going to play another team that's 4-6, the Cleveland Browns, twice. They're going to play the Ravens once again. They're going to play the Miami Dolphins. And so you're in a position right now. And as you know, I was checking the schedule that all these teams had. Nobody's got an easy chance of it, easy time of it. All these wild card hopefuls, you Jets included, Jets, Dolphins, Rangers, Titans, Steelers, Ravens, and the Browns, they're all playing one another. And it's going to be a very, very, very interesting finish. We're going to be doing a lot of scoreboard watching the last 6 weeks of the football season.
And I understand that the Bengals are in control of the division, as they should be. They have been by far, you know, the best team in the AFC North. But the Steelers get them at home. And what you're looking at, you know, in terms of tiebreakers when it comes to the AFC North, you know, the Steelers are the only team with only one loss in the division right now. And, you know, after head-to-head, division record is the next tiebreaker. So, you know, it is possible for the Steelers to be 5-1 in their division.
Right.
I'm not saying it's likely.
Right.
It is possible. And if they are, that will mean that they will not have been swept by any team. So if they are tied with any team, they would then win the division. So to me, when you look at those teams, the fact that those other teams are going to lose, that's a given.
Right.
Can the Steelers keep winning?
Right.
That's the issue for me.
Right.
Can the Steelers keep winning? Because I believe, as you do, that the Jets and the Dolphins and the Raiders and the Titans and the Ravens and the Browns are going to continue to lose some games, even the Bengals. But can the Steelers keep winning? That's the issue to me.
Well, we stack two, so we'll have to find out this Sunday. All right, that's going to do it for us here today on Steelers.com Live at 4 for Tunch and Bob and Missy. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, Coach Tomlin's weekly press conference is right here on Steelers.com starting at noon, and we'll break that all down at 4. See you then.